over here, and we appreciate you coming so much. We're going to be continuing on in this very vital issue. Controlling is essential to child training. Controlling is essential to child training. Now, this is where the world does not understand. Without control, there can be no training. Does that make sense? Now, does that have to be proven? Can you train anyone that's out of control? Well, of course not. That's only logic. If a person's out of control, they can't be trained. That's not all there is to it. But a child not controlled cannot be taught. So this is the first step. Now, some children are easier to control and to train than others. Someone asks the question, well, why is that? Well, I don't know. I mean, there certainly is characteristics that children pick up from their mom and dad. No one would deny that there's children that have totally different personalities and characters. Some of you have children that are as different as night and day. You cannot get any more different than some children in the same family. But they can all be controlled. Now, the passive rebellion. They're the ones that, as we've already talked about, that don't rebel openly, but they rebel passively. They rebel by their looks. And I tell you, you better be ready for that. You better be prepared for that. When children just kind of sulk and they don't say anything exactly, but you can see it in their face. And it's something that we've got to really be careful of. Many times I've told parents, you better make sure your children are made to speak to people when they're talked to. If someone comes up to a child and says hi, and that child doesn't speak back, I would talk about that being passive rebellion. Now, don't get overly shook on that, but I'll tell you, I would make my children speak when spoken to. Isn't that what's always been taught in the history of America? Speak when spoken to? And I would watch those kind of things. Now, I'm not talking about some kids are going to be shyer than others, and don't worry so much about that. But just make them respond when spoken. You know, all children aren't going to be the same, and don't get all worried about that. One of you dear ones came to me this week or last week, I don't remember who it even was, and they said they were kind of worried that their children aren't working as hard as they should work. And I said, well, you know, when they're young, you can't expect them to do a perfect job whenever they do it. You can't expect that perfection. I know one time I made a mistake when Jimmy was young, and I had Jimmy cleaning the church. And Jimmy, you remember what grade you were, about fifth or sixth grade? And that was a big mistake because Jimmy wasn't old enough to clean the church. And I was way too hard on him, and I felt real bad about it. Finally, I said, this is wrong, and I'm wrong. And it was way too much for him. And I expected more out of him than he was capable of doing at that young age. Parents, you got to be real careful that you don't expect your child to do what a high school child will do. Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to be lazy, and that doesn't mean that you don't have them do chores around the house. But don't expect them to do what an adult can do. Now, you've got two extremes, the passive rebellion, and then you've got the strong-willed child. In Christian circles, most children are strong-willed. You say, why is that? I don't know. But without an exception, when there's a loud scream and there's loud crying, it's one of ours. When there's a preschool kid in trouble, it's one of ours. You say, why is that? Well, it may be the devil. It may be God giving you an opportunity to deal with it and take care of it. I don't know what it is. But the strong-willed child. Now, this child can become a criminal real quick. And if you don't control this, this child can be a great leader or a great criminal. And it's got to be very important how we get this child under control. It's so important. Usually a strong-willed child, if you can take that intelligence. You know, we have a girl in our school, and she's always coming up and saying, "Would you whip so-and-so today?" You know, birthday swats. I said, "You know, if I could get you to work as hard in school as you do work on getting everybody whippings, you'd be a genius." And she always laughs at me. She's a sweet little girl. But she's got, every day I walk in and she's got somebody that she wants me to give birthday swats to. Y'all know who I'm talking about? Villa Park, you know who I'm talking about? Joe, who am I talking about, Joy? That's right. Kelly, is she here tonight? Kelly, are you here? She here? No, Kelly's not here. Kelly's quite a sweet kid and strong-willed. Can you believe this will be from time and eternity on these tapes? If we can just get these children to be used of the Lord, get them under control. Now, when we have trouble controlling these children, either the rod is too small or the child is already too old. You know, people don't understand that when we discipline a child. I tell you what. Now, we're going to get later in the course on how to use a rod, but I tell you, it's got to hurt. No, I don't mean physical abuse. I don't mean hurting the child like so many times it happens. But I mean it's got to give pain where God meant to give pain. And if it's not working, then the rod is too small or we're not doing something right. Or the child is too big. The child wants to place his parents under his or her wing, under their will. And you say, "Oh, that's not that way, Pastor." Oh, yes, it is. A child wants to be able to control the family. You did, and I did. If I were to ask questions about your youth, you would tell me of times that you did things to get your way. And you would say, "Someone, somehow, is trying to do something to me." Many boys and girls learn to outwit their mother or their father, but mainly their mother, and make a game of it. From past inconsistencies, they know how to do it. They know how to trick at a very young age. And they know how to make a mockery of this type of thing. This is where the mom has to learn to get the upper hand or it's going to be all over. Now this is where the father can help. And this is where the father can sit down with the children and explain to them that you're going to back up the mother 100%. This is always a failure. Many times you see the mom just not willing to do it. They say, "Well, I just can't do it." Well, listen, you better be scared enough. You know, back in the Old Testament, if they took a child and stoned them, you think there's any mothers that would say, "Well, I just can't whip my children." They'd say, "Well, I don't want my children stoned." That's the way you better think of it, moms and dads, because stoning is mild compared to what they will become if you don't do it. Stoning is mild. And moms, every time you deal with your children, I want you to think about that. I want you to get that rebellion out of them. And dads, you're the same. Now, what are some of the human hindrances that are in the way of helping us with raising children? Human hindrances. Now here's what we've got to learn to do, is put God's will over human opinion. Human opinion is totally different than anything that we teach in this church. And since we are rebels ourselves, how easy it is for us to find a better way than God's way. And yet we will never, 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 never in 1,000 years admit this. But how many times do we really believe our way is even better than God's way? That we have found a better way than God's way. (Clears throat) We as parents, we've got to learn to face our own rebellion so that we can help our kids. Now, we're going to do two extremes. We're either too permissive or we're too strict. Or some parents go between the two. They're totally permissive. And then they get mad. And then they're way too strict. And those either one, there's a very dangerous situation. You know, we need to be consistent. Don't be too strict and don't be too permissive. But don't let your child have their own way. You've heard the old joke, you know. Some people mess up so much it's like the guy that fell out of the boat and can't even hit the water. You know, there's some people like that. Fall out of the boat and miss the water. Fall out of the boat and land on the dock and bust their head wide open, you know. That type of person. Well, you know, God wants us consistent with our children. Consistent. And these are some of the hindrances. You let it go, and you let it go, and you let it go, and then you get so strict, and you blow up, and the child never knows what's going to happen. He doesn't know if he's going to get away with it today or he's going to get creamed today. You've got to be consistent, moms and dads, to make this thing work. I'll tell you, you've got to learn to be consistent. My children never talked back to me. They never said no to me. They never gave me a bad look. But I say never. What I mean by that is, if they did it, they were done. I don't believe, on all my failures, and I've gotten millions of them and billions of them and trillions of them, I don't believe I ever let my children get away with being rebellious. If I did, I don't know about it. I'm sure I did because I'm not perfect. But I don't know about it. When they were rebellious, I got them. And I got them good, and I got them quick, and I got them fast. Never. I don't care if I was on my deathbed. I'd come up out of my grave. I would. I never let them get away with it. Didn't matter, boy, girl, didn't matter. If there was rebellion, their daddy knew how to take care of them. You'd never let it pass. Never. What the children need is consistency. You also need to let the children know. Now, when I said don't reason with your children, I'm talking about during rebellion. But teach the children. Teach them that they're to obey their parents and the Word of God says so. Teach your children that the Word of God says that they should have the rod. Show that to them in the Word of God. But not reasoning with them. When they're bad, you let them have it. There's a little chart in a book that I've taken about half of this course off of. And I thought the chart was real good. Now, I didn't make you the chart, but it's a rectangle. And when the child is old age, 100% control. As the child gets up to adult age, no control. Do you get that? Do you get it? The rectangle? When they're over here, total control. When they're over here, there should be no control. And there should be the cross line from the two corners that's showing. As they get older, they should have less control. And we've got to learn to do that. It's very important. They need to be taught these things. Another thing that keeps it is human pride is one of the greatest hindrances. And let me say this. Psychology, and if you saw, and I just briefly saw it today in the Tribune, that they are locking up more teenagers than anyone else in these psycho wards. You know, these psycho wards are the most dangerous thing you'll ever see because you can go there without trial, without judge, without jury. And it's because they get $500 to $1,000 a day for it. And the most of them are put away because of what they call psychological imbalance. And now you hear on radio constantly, come in for your whole family to get evaluated. Yeah, the biggest hindrance to raising children today in that type of field is psychology. It's based on a false system. And we got people, and they say, well, I believe that. I believe it's false. But they still really believe it. And these shrinks go around telling people all kinds of crazy stuff. Listen, they can't even take care of themselves. That's why the suicide rate is highest among psychiatrists than any other profession. It's incredible. It's incredible. And they're locking these teenagers up. And they had a story in there about this poor boy. And he said, they said I was mad. I wasn't mad. You know what these children need? They need someone to discipline them and get them under control. Listen, that's a lot better than putting them in a psych ward. I tell you, one time I had to get somebody out of one of those psych wards. They weren't going to let them out because they have insurance. If you don't have insurance, they get you out real quick. You're cured. If you don't have insurance, oh, this boy needs more, and I had to go in. I said, you're going to give me that person, or I'm going to, I tell you, that was in the days the preacher had a little respect. I was Northwest, and I got him out. I'll tell you, when you get in, you hardly ever get out. Just like when you get to the courts today, you hardly ever get out. We're living in that day and an age like no other day and age. Psychologist is a tremendous hindrance to raising children. And they give you all these things, and you hear all this, and you say, do people really believe that? And every once in a while they find a new disorder. All these years, and they find, yes, this is a new disorder that we've been studying for the last 10 years, and it's just now becoming prominent. And you go, come on, you kooks. It's just now becoming prominent. And these children have this and this and this and this. And they're mostly getting the children in there. You know why? Because they get them in there and literally brainwash them. Let me tell you, parents, get them, control them now before it's everlasting too late. They put them in those things and it's the end of them. Look at 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Cast down those imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself. You know who considers itself the absolute? It's the psychology today. They can get away with anything. Don't need trial. Don't need this. They don't need that. They say people had temporary insanity. What's temporary insanity? I think most people act like full-time insanity to me. Let me say this about keeping you from doing what God wants. Pride is not a monopoly of the educated either. I know some uneducated people that have so much pride. They're so proud about anything, you know? Here are some of the reasons, some of the things that people say. I can do it better myself. My child is different. Did you ever hear that one? Well, my child is different. They don't know my child. My child is sweeter and nicer. My child would never lie. I've had that told me I don't know how many times. My child would not lie, Pastor Scudder. Oh, since Jesus, and now your child, the second perfect human. Not my child. You know, if you have any brains, you're going to think, my child will lie because my child's got no nature. Your child has to be taught not to lie. It's natural to lie. I don't ever, hardly ever read the comics. My wife and kids fight over them. But I don't. But I did see one the other day, and I thought this was really funny. There was a kid standing on one of those trash cans, and the sister was jumping on it to try to flip open the top to get him up to the cookie jar. I said, now that's a smart comic. Because it works. I used to do that myself, you know. What are you doing? Oh, nothing. I'm just putting the garbage away, you know. Another thing is, how could there be a simple solution to such a complex problem? It can't be that simple. Take a rod and whip them when they're bad and love them when they're good. Hey, that put Dobson out of business, wouldn't it? That put him right out of business. He probably does a lot of good trying to help those people that should have done what they should have done before he even got into it, wouldn't it? It's so easy. God didn't make it hard to raise children. You know, did you ever think about this? We're so, psychological. And you can't help the way you are. And worry. Now they're saying worry is a medical disorder. I say that one gets me. There's little things in your body that, you know. Little genes that are crawling around in there. Going, worry, worry. You know, worry warthog or whatever, you know. And it's all part of your psychological makeup. And now we're finding cures for $1,000 a day. You won't have to worry anymore. Yeah, if they give you enough drugs, you quit worrying, right? You'll go, yeah, I'm here again, you know. You quit worrying. That's some of the ways. Everyone knows that there is no right way. That's another excuse people use. How could there be a simple solution to a complex problem? You know, the way we've been trained, it makes us easy to be lazy and avoid conflict. Back in the old days, I'll tell you, it was different and people weren't... they were raised with a rod. They were raised the correct way. And you didn't have the laziness that you have today. Kids will be kids, or it's just another stage. While it is true, kids will be kids, but they will stay kids if you don't do something about it. That's how come you have adults. That's why it's so hard to be a preacher today. Because there's adults that have still been kids. Kids have stayed kids. And that's one of the things that makes it so hard. When we're not taught as a child and we're not got this stuff out of us. Children will grow up through stages. But see, we need to take the opportunity to do the pruning. Another excuse is they use an incorrect definition of grace and love. I like this one. I like this one. God will train my kids. Have you ever heard that one? I'm going to let God train my kids. Or, we don't want to play the Holy Spirit, and God is going to train my kids. I've seen some of those kids God's trained. They're pretty good, aren't they? Now see, God gave the training to the parents. And God says, spare the rod and spoil the child. God says, I told you to do it. Don't blame it on God. Well, God's going to raise my children. No, God told you to raise your children, and you're going against God when you say those kind of things. Our God has changed, and He only uses love today. We had a man that was in our church, and he'd signed our disciplinary statement. And he wrote us a letter and says, Jesus has changed, and He only believes in love today, and He does not believe in the rod. I said, did you ever read the Old Testament? Did you ever read the Revelation? Did you ever read what happens after the tribulation? Did you ever read what happens during the tribulation? Boy, I tell you, what does it say? He rules with a rod of iron. As love, the children live under the parents' authority. The parent... As long as the children live under the parent's authority, the parent is held responsible. Period. You know, If they're in your house and they won't obey you, then they shouldn't be in your house, right? That's right. Here it is. The question is it God or is it my pride? And so many times we let our pride overrule what God wants. Now I want us to look at what chastisement is not. What chastisement is not. We've said that chastisement is using the rod. What chastisement is not? Number one, it's not verbal abuse. It's not tongue lashing, threats, or in other words, adult temper tantrums. Yes, adults can throw temper tantrums. Adults can get, because they weren't controlled as a child. They didn't get it out of them as a child. And as an adult, they can throw a temper tantrum and literally act like a child. And there's not any of us that's not capable of doing this, and this is what we've got to be very, very careful of. See, when this happens, a child proves to himself that the parent does not have the right to rule. Here's another thing that it's not. Requesting or begging a rebellious child to submit. Or something like this. This hurts mommy or this hurts daddy so much. Please don't do that. Man, you're going to make that child get so bad. A parent cries to get his child's attention. I've seen parents that would cry to try to make the child see how they're hurting them. And I tell you, the child got worse and worse and worse. Listen, parents, don't act childish in trying to train your children. Don't go around saying, I can't do anything right. I can't do anything right. Oh, poor woe is me. That's really going to help your child, right? You're acting like an immature person. You go around, I can't do anything right. I can't do anything right. Nobody cares. I'm a failure. And your kids hear this, and they're going to be children and childish. Don't do that. Men be men and women be women. Be adults. You say, but I wasn't trained to be an adult. Well, then train yourself real quick. Because the price is too high to lose your children. Don't do that. Now, I bet you if we had time tonight, we don't have time to do it, but I'll bet you if I had different ones stand and tell the times that you cried as a child to get your parents to do what you wanted, I'll bet you there'd be a third in here that would say that. And you got your way. And how many times did you see your parents break down and act like they weren't adults? Well, let's don't get into all that. It's not good to think about it. But see, the children lose the respect. Remember this, when a child is rebellious, chastisement is the only thing to give them. Punishment is not equal to chastisement ever. Punishment will not take the rebellion out of a child. It will only make the child more rebellious. Yes, punishment is important. But punishment is not for rebellion. Punishment is for doing wrong. Rebellion is when you're openly defying the act and will of your parents. Punishment is something that's given when, say, a child breaks a lamp or a child, you know, does something and they were careless but they weren't rebellious, then you punish. Then you punish. You know, when you try to use punishment for rebellion, it's like the old joke of shooting a robber with a BB gun, you know. It doesn't help. Or the man up in Minnesota, as you know, who shot a bear with a .22 and the bear turned around and started chasing him. You don't shoot a bear with a .22. That feels like an acorn falling off a tree to a bear. They're pretty tough. So you don't shoot a bear with a .22. If you do, you better be able to run pretty fast. And swim pretty fast and climb pretty fast because you got not much hope. Well, that's how people try to do their children sometimes. The book that we're using gave this illustration. I thought it was excellent. It said, it's like punishment for chastisement. It's like sealing a pressure cooker release valve. Now, I think a pressure cooker is a tremendous thing. We don't use one much, but I think they're a tremendous thing. And every once in a while, I like to get out the old pressure cooker and put something in there, you know. It does wonders for things that are tough, you know. And a pressure cooker. One time at our house, the whole thing blew, the release valve. And it went all the way through the ceiling. Not at our present house. I mean, my mom and dad's house. And I mean, that made quite a stir. Wham! And you know what had happened? That pressure cooker got totally quiet. Somehow it got clogged. Now, good thing it had that release valve, or all of us would have been in glory early. Real quick. I'm glad that thing blew. And that thing, but you know, some people don't like to hear that thing jiggle, you know. And they go plug it. And they don't hear nothing. That's the way it is when you try to train your children without using chastisement. They get quiet. And you seemingly got it controlled. And then the explosion comes. And when it comes, it's awesome. Chastisement is the only answer. When the child feels like he can get along by himself, be careful. Don't use psychological manipulation. This will cause self-pity in the child. I've seen parents use psychology. They use manipulation to try to get their children to do what they want to do. This estranges the parent from the child. They transfer their guilt to the child. Parents become vindictive. And it's almost like the parent is fighting their own child. And the child is fighting their own parent. And the parent is striking out to get even because they're using all these manipulating things. Listen, be forthright. When your child is bad, spank them. When they're good, love them. If they've done something wrong, punish them. But don't manipulate them. Do you like to be manipulated? Listen, you tell me what you feel, and I'll have respect for you. You try to manipulate me, and I'm not going to have respect for you. I don't like to be manipulated. I want someone to tell me the truth. Painful, hurtful, whatever, but tell me the truth. Don't manipulate. Parents, don't try to manipulate your children. Don't try to get them to do your way by manipulation. They will have no respect, they will not listen, and they will not obey. The results of chastisement. Look at your verse in Hebrews 12:11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Now, nobody likes chastisement while you're getting it. Children or parents. Now, parents, you get chastisement from God. I get chastisement from God. But after it's over, it brings you back into the fellowship that God wants you to have. But nevertheless, the peaceable fruit of righteousness. See, now the child is in the right position. And you're in the right position to teach the child. And for the parents to show and to be shown love. See, after you've disciplined them with the rod, after you've chastised them with the rod, then you pray with them, and you love them, and then there's nothing between you. It's all been broken. And you've done God's way. God made the child, God made you, and God knew that chastisement would lead that peaceable fruit. And it's a tremendous feeling. Any of you that have practiced child discipline, child chastisement, you know that to be a fact. The child will love you to death afterwards. No, they don't like it while you're doing it, but they'll love you afterwards, and it's a tremendous thing. It's just a tremendous thing. And we can have so much fun with our children once we get them under control. One of the kids sitting here right now, Julie was going over in the preschool class what nectar is. She was teaching them the verbs. And she was going over the definition of nectar. She says, "What's nectar now?" One of the kids sitting right here in this room raises his hand and he says, "Nectar, that's when you stretch your neck." That's pretty good. Now, which one do you think that was? No, it wasn't a tanny kid this time. Who do you think? Anybody want to guess? Aaron, do you know who it was? Rodney, yeah. Rodney comes up with one every day. They were teaching the kid to say what they like. "I like your dress, Miss Scudder." Rodney says, "I like your skin." Anyway, we have a lot of fun. Sometimes we'll be sitting around and Julie just bursts out laughing. I said, What did some kid say in preschool today?" And it's incredible. A child properly trained will meet the biblical requirements to obey and honor. Look at Deuteronomy 6:6-7. You don't know this. Some people call this the pinnacle of the Old Testament. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt walk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by thy way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Man, I'll tell you, we're to train our children. We're to be with them. We're to love them. We're to discipline them. We're to let them know how much we care for them. Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Hebrews 6:4, "And your fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." No one will accept teaching if not to accept the other person's position to teach. When a child has become obedient, they are ready to develop internal controls of self-discipline. And remember this, you're not doing away with your children's choice. Your children are constantly making a choice whether I should submit or whether I shouldn't. But see, these choices protect him. And the choice the world gives is not protection. You know, some people say, "Oh, well, this is brainwashing, you know, to control your children." Let me ask you this. It's not brainwashing, because brainwashing is doing away with the will. This is in no way doing away with the will. The child is still doing the will. This is not brainwashing. The world, though, did you ever wonder how come there's so many of these rock, acid rock, metal rock, heavy metal? How come all the children seem to, this age, they seem to be that way, and in ages past they weren't? You know what real brainwashing is? Let me ask you this. If you put one of those earphones on and headsets and concert, brum, 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 you know, all day long, you don't think that's not brainwashing? You think those kids have a mind of their own? They don't have a mind of their own. It's pitiful. We had one come to church today. Now, I'm glad he came to church. But I mean, this guy was strange. I was a little worried looking in the back. And he was looking around like he couldn't sit still. And he's looking around, and right while I'm preaching, he gets the bulletin and starts going like this toward me, and I'm going. I said, "Man, I hope that's paper." You ought to try to preach, and some guy's going. That was this morning. See, when they put all that stuff in their mind, and I'm glad the guy came, don't get me wrong, I'm real happy he came. But I tell you, there's some weird people today. You better change them to things of God, because that world out there. Do you think these kids just on their own develop this love for heavy metal? Or do you think it was brainwashed into them? They don't have a mind of their own. Listen, our children have a mind of their own. They really do. Now see, people don't like to admit that, but our children really have a mind of their own. Discipline will teach more mind of their own than any other thing. And that's what we want. The ultimate purpose of control is to prepare the child for instruction from God's Word and for his development of self-discipline. They start learning. They start thinking, to get or not to get? That is the question. To get it or not to get it? Well, I think it's better not to get it. And then they learn to be responsible. They learn not to be lazy. And it's a tremendous thing. They learn all these things, to get or not to get. And these are tremendous things. Now, we're going to get down to another area that we want to teach tonight, and that's the area of what teaching means. You cannot leave a child in a playpen forever. You'd like to sometimes, but you can't. The purpose is to teach a child to act on their own and to control their own self. You cannot watch a child forever. Sooner or later, you're going to have to trust them. And this is where, as you teach, you learn to start teaching the reason behind what you're teaching. That's why we start with real young children with real easy subjects. And as they get older, they get harder subjects with more reasoning. The same principle we teach in child raising. Isn't it amazing how children will try to reason with their parents, will try to reason with their children when they're young, but you don't try to start teaching them calculus when they're in first grade. But isn't that what the parents are doing when they're trying to reason with their children? But as the children get older, then you've got to start reasoning with them. Teaching the children. And, you know, in school, why do we, or in public school, or in any other kind of school, why do you always give tests? If you did not give tests, there would not be very much learning. You have to have a way in school to find out that the kids are learning, and a test is one way to make sure they're learning. Parents, you have to also give your children tests in growing up, and you have to trust them. And you have to learn to trust them a little bit further. Now, if they break that trust, then they gotta be put back in a little bit narrow circle. But you've got to learn to trust them. We test our children in the way they behave in conformity with our instruction. And you teach your children that if you do this and I trust you here, don't we? And haven't we always taught with our program in our Christian school is that the more that you do, the more privileges you're going to earn. The more work you do, the better you are, the more privileges you're going to get. Now, we're to set standards and instruction of our children. We are to give clear directions and warnings. Some parents don't make it clear. You know, there's very bad results happen when a child proves himself and he never gets credit for it. I'll tell you, I wish I could stress this enough. They prove themselves and you don't trust them. Do you know what happens if you don't trust your children? Now, if your children aren't proving themselves, then they don't deserve to be trusted. Any children sitting here right now, and you just heard me say that, and you say, well, my top parent don't trust me, well, then there may be a reason they don't trust you. But as you prove yourself, you know one thing you ought to make as a goal in your life, children? You ought to make it a goal that when my parent tells me something, they can trust me, and I'm going to earn more and more respect. And then parents, as they earn this, you've got to give them more and more freedom. See, that's what God wants. He wants us to get them ready. That's why I keep saying, it's better to send your kids 2 weeks to camp now, get them used to being away from mom and dad a little bit, than all of a sudden never being away and they're gone. I think you need to let them go spend the night people's house as long as you know they're going to be safe. I think that's one of the thrills of my life is growing up was going over to people's homes, spending the night. Listen, let your kids have fun. Now again, I'm talking about as they get older and older and older. It's very important that we do this. Now let's look at this subject called the generation gap that we hear so much about. There's no such thing as a generation gap. The reason there's a gap is because the kids don't accept the standards of the parents. If the kids are made to accept the same standards as the parents, and those standards are correct, then there will be no generation gap. Generation gap is another psychological term. The gap is the child's own self-imposed standards, or those of celebrities. Don't we love to worship celebrities? I tell you, we live in a world that loves to worship people like no other world. Our peer groups, our hero worship, people just love to worship people. And they're going to pick up the standards of one of these people. You know, as your children get older, you should start trusting them more. You know what's wrong with them? What's wrong with us training our children instead of letting the world do it? You know, if we don't do it, the world's going to do it. People say, well, I don't want to brainwash them. See, where do we get that word? Isn't that a psychological word? Is that word anywhere in the Bible? Not in the Bible, is it? Well, we know what brainwashing is. The Japanese used it, and different people used it during the war. And they would drop water on someone's head and cover their eyes and put them in very abnormal circumstances to try to get them to give way and to confess and to tell. And the communists have used it for years and years and years to try to use a brainwashing technique. And the way to beat their technique is to just never obey them when the communists are trying to do something. Well, see, this is a totally different thing. You know, it's kind of a nice thing. As you raise them, as they get older, and you learn to trust them, they start getting to where you can trust them. I know our teenagers here, the vast majority of them, if you give them a job to do, they're going to do it. And they're going to do it well. They're going to do it superior to anything you've ever seen or believed. And it's going to be an exciting thing. It's great when you do not have to use external pressures. I know that Jimmy and Paul are going to get this yard cut for the church. And if they don't, there's a reason. Last week, you hardly ever have seen the grass look as bad as last week. And that's because they had a mower breakdown. It wasn't because they didn't try. And they're going to put dirt without being told and plant grass seed without being told. And they're going to do things without being told because they want to please. When we were up at Spring Lab Jimmy was out mowing the yard, and this neighbor's wife died. And he mowed their yard. He took them flowers and went to the wake. And Julie went to the wake. And they took them food. And they've taken them food since then. And not being told, I didn't say, are you going to be nice to our neighbor because his wife just died? It's an automatic thing when you raise them. And they're going to do it because they want to do it, not because they have to do it. They're going to make that choice. And that choice is going to be, I want to go over there because, see, they got under control as a child. And now that choice is, I want to help my neighbor. And now they're banking on the neighbor coming out to the wedding and getting saved at the wedding. And we hope that he will. See, this is the great benefit. This is the great benefit that we need to have. I think behavior modification is a dangerous thing for parents to try, and it will backfire. You just discipline and love them. It's so simple. You know, I'm not trying to attack Dr. Dobson, but I can take all his books and I can just say, forget it, and just discipline and love. But you got to do it right now. You got to discipline when they need it, you got to love them, and then as they get older, you got to give them more freedom. You know, there's some people that they're just so strict that they never give in and they never trust. They never show them that they trust them. And this is such a dangerous thing. And I can't stress that enough. Now remember, you've got to be teaching what's truth. If what you're teaching is a lie, all the teaching in the world won't help. But if you're teaching them truth, and I believe God's Word is truth, then they're going to be able to see that it's true. You know, sometimes the statements that are classics, you know, Neil Armstrong's, one small step for man and one giant step for mankind, that was a classic. And they're celebrating that, and there, a lot of people tried to say someone wrote that, and Neil Armstrong said yesterday, I wrote that when I was on the moon. He said it was just a logical thing to say. Well, it would be if you were the first person to step out on the moon. That was quite an exciting time. I wouldn't mind going to the moon, but some of you would like to send me to the moon probably. And anyway, be that as it may, I'll quit on that one. But we've got to teach these children what is truth. But I like the statement that my daughter made when she says, what do I have to rebel against? See, I want us to raise our children in truth. I want to give them freedom when they deserve freedom. I want to give them... Didn't you read and all the things that happened at Spring Lab? Now, didn't that get you excited? You tell me any children that get to do anything that fun. And that's what I want to do. Proper teaching as they get older must show the reason behind it. I try now to always reason with my children. You teach them, why is adultery wrong? Why does the Bible teach it's wrong? Why is stealing wrong? Why is lying wrong? And you teach them the reasons behind it. You've got to be able to teach that. Don't be a dictator parent. Don't be a dictator father, a dictator mother. Don't come home and your kids are just scared to death. Now, if they've been bad, then they ought to be scared. But, you know, they shouldn't be scared of just their daddy or just their mommy. Dads, moms, don't do that. Don't come home and they never know what kind of condition you're going to be in. Unlike the children that have drinking in their family and they never know if their dad's going to come home drunk and beat them or not. Listen, don't be that way as a Christian. Don't come home and your children are afraid of what kind of mood you're going to be in. Be steady. Be consistent. And don't be a dictator to your children. I said it was right because I said it was right. Don't do that. Yes, when they're young, that's what you do. But as they get older, don't do that. God's Word is the only standard. And if everybody would follow God's Word, you'd never have a generation gap and you'd never have children changing. You realize the great advantage God has given us, first of all, having a Bible church here, a Bible church at Villa Park. Do you know what He's given us? He's given us an ability to have a school and a church and a home that we can raise our children right. Now, if you don't raise them in the home, all the church and the school is not going to do it. I've taught that from the day we started teaching child courses. If you don't teach them right, all the training in the world is not going to help them. If you don't use that rod. Now, parents, next year, all the discipline is going to come from you. No, it's not a lowering of our standards. It's going to be the way we're going to do it next year. And if you don't do it, what's going to happen? Your children are going to earn enough points and they won't be here. That would be worse, wouldn't it? You better take this thing very seriously. And you better never contradict the authorities as God would want you to listen and obey and submit and teach your children to do that. Don't be a dictatorial parent, though. Don't come and say, I said it because I said it and that's it. Give them reasons as they get older and older and older. When they're younger, you don't give them any reasons. But after they get 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, you start giving them reasons. Now, if they start still act like children, then you're going to have to treat them like children. If they don't earn respect, then they don't get respect. And this is what will make the total difference in raising the children. I conclude with this. It's worth every second. It may be hard, but it's worth it. It's worth it. You get honored by it. You know, today we have a little restaurant we go to occasionally on Sunday. We like it because it's not crowded. And they treat us really great. You know why? Because they fell in love with my daughter. The whole restaurant. Everybody there is family. Where's Dewey? And they gave her a cookie, and they give us free soup. They give us free everything. And it's almost embarrassing to go in there because they just wait on us. How's Dewey doing? Will Dewey ever get a boyfriend? You know. Where's poor Dewey? And because she has treated them nice, we get treated like kings at this restaurant. I mean, it's incredible. You can't experience it. Pastor Floyd, is that true? Do we get treated like kings? He saw it today. He couldn't believe it. It's on the house. Here's some more on the house. On the house. I love that. The Hollers came to the same restaurant today. They came and said, it's on the house. And Rod said, no, no, no. He didn't know what on the house meant. Walked away and Cindy says, do you understand that was free and you turned it down? He goes, I did? Pastor Holler said he was friendlier than he'd ever been the whole rest of the day, but he didn't get anything else. When you turn down on the house, you pay the price, don't you? I love that word, don't you? Hi, this is on the house. Thank you. No, I tell you, it's worth it. Train your children right, and they'll be a blessing to you. Now, I only use that as an example, and I'm just kind of being silly, but they really do. These little things that your children will do as they get older are real blessings, and you don't have to worry about them. You know they're going to put in more work than you could ever dream possible. But listen, parents, don't worry if you don't see all that develop all at once. Don't expect your children before they're 13 to be spiritual. Some of you, I know, you really believe your children are spiritual. They're not. They're nice and they're good and they may have some spirituality, but you're not going to see it the way you want to see it until they get older. You'll see some, but not a lot. You'll see it more and more as they get older. If there's anyone here tonight and you don't know Christ as Savior, I would say trust Him before it's everlasting too late. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. All the child raising in the world won't help if you don't know Christ as Savior. I'll tell you, to be able to put Christ in your life, to say, God, I trust Jesus as my Savior. And Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, dwelling in you, and Jesus Christ, through the Spirit, will live in you by faith. It's the most tremendous thing you've ever seen. But you know, if you don't have God, you have nothing. You have nothing. Salvation is all by grace, apart from anything else. You can't work for it, no matter how hard you try. Just like having the children. I know all of us are excited about camp this summer. We're excited about all the things that are going to be happening. Jeff and Lynn are going to be going up there at the end of June. Jim and Robin are going to be going to Indianapolis. Jim Costello said, boy, that Jim works hard. He said he worked hard every night that he was there. It's a shame he had to be working on our John Deere because that thing just gives us nothing but trouble. But, you know, hard work. And I believe Jeff and Lynn are going to do a lot of hard work. And I tell you, we need to be excited about our camp. And we need to have our kids go up and... You know what else we do at camp? We teach them to be leaders. They're taught to be leaders. Do you know what it is when your kids get in high school and they get to have a tent? You know how quick they mature? I get the biggest charge out of these kids that have never had anybody have to obey them. And they can't get the kids under control. They can't get... And all the things that they've done to their parents is coming at them in one night. It's just the most wonderful experience you've ever seen. And